the simple silence that takes us where we need to be.
Good morning and welcome to episode 237 of Taking Charge Podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by. Yes, Regensburg. We'll be here this week, and then next couple of weeks I'll be out of town. Heading to North America for a couple of weeks for some hoops and some family, and maybe a little bit of baseball. Yes, looking forward to a nice trip. And for some good hoops. Get to that in a couple of minutes. First, just if you want to get in contact with the show, you can reach me on Twitter at Hein News, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S. You can go to the Facebook group, put into the search bar Taking the Charge Podcast, and you'll find the group. We welcome everybody in, but we just want to be at the door to open it for you and let you in to the group. You can go to the website is heinnews.com. You can reach me also on email, heinnews@gmx.de. You can go to iTunes, rate and review the show, and if you please go to Patreon and support the show. A little bit of cash here once a month, just Not even a cup of coffee a day will go great long way to helping this thing keep going. Go to patreon.com/takingthecharge, all one word, and you can go there. There's also perks if you want to show more love. I showed a love back. All right. Leaving tomorrow on Thursday for Toronto, then heading down to Arizona to check out the NCAA Final Four. Being the first my first Final Four, NCAA Final Four, so really excited about that. And then heading over to Portland to check out the Hoop Summit, which will be pretty cool. Gonna be some interesting players there. Quite a few players from that USA team are going to be on the under-19 team. A couple of storylines at the Hoop Summit. But actually, I think I will tackle that next week on the show, since it doesn't happen until a week from Friday. So I'll look into that a little bit more next week. And then going to check out the BioSteel All-Canadian game. That's the Canada's top 24 prospects playing at Showcase in Toronto. Going to check that out. And maybe even check out a Blue Jays baseball game. Hopefully going to get that in there. Besides just, you know, seeing family and friends and colleagues, whatever. So just a really nice trip and cannot wait for it. And so just to see some more live basketball. Not going to say it's been too long because it's only been it's about a week and a half now, but that's all right. It's kind of weird thinking that today is Wednesday and I'm in Regensburg and really not totally in the mind frame that on Saturday is the two semifinals for the NCAA, the Final Four in Phoenix. Friday is also there's a college all-star game that's going on at Phoenix. And I'm flying into Phoenix on Friday. So so it's gonna be, it's seemingly so far in the distance and ahead, but it's really right around the corner. And then so it's gonna be here before you know it. Been a pretty entertaining NCAA tournament. I had a chance to watch some of the games, but not all of them. Actually, not most of them. Actually, just a few of them. It is cool to see Gonzaga finally make it through. I thought maybe that the Gonzaga team with Sabonis might have been able to do it, but you know, this year they were able to get through a somewhat easier road. So, congrats to the Zags for finally getting over the hump and getting to the Final Four. Of course, it's a great story that Oregon are there, even though they lost, their third guy, and Chris Boucher. But to see them is really cool. Obviously, they have just like Gonzaga, they have some international players. So that makes it that much more interesting for international basketball fans. Give them a rooting interest in the game. So obviously, you know, Gonzaga, they have Karnofsky, the big man, and Killian Tile. But even Rui Hashimura will be there. Probably won't, I can't imagine he'll play too much, but maybe he'll get in the game a little bit more. I think he's more of a longer-term project. Gonzaga face South Carolina. South Carolina have a couple interesting guys in Mike Kotsar, who's from Estonia, and can imagine he's gonna probably play a role in the Estonian national team in the very near future. He's a 21 year old. Well, I don't know if he's turned 21 yet. I don't know, but he's born in 96. Chris Silva, who's from Gabon, has been a really impressive player for them, and can imagine that he's going to also play a role in the national team in Gabon if they decide to kick up their national team efforts a bit more. So it's going to be a matchup, good matchup. You know, it's hard. It would be hard to pick against Gonzaga. Williams Gloss playing so well, as Goss is playing so well as. And on the other hand, you know, everybody's picked against South Carolina, and so, but it should be fun. It should be a good battle, and this is just another battle, If South Carolina has come this far, they face absolutely zero pressure. On the other hand, Gonzaga, okay, they're the favorites, but they've gotten there now. They're probably considered the favorite, but they're over the hump now. So they, it's not going to say everything they get here would now just be gravy, but they still have a relief factor there. So there's not the pressure that they're the big old monster that has to win this, or it's going to be a bust. You know, they've accomplished the Final Four. So, still, you know, I'd have to go with Gonzaga, but, you know, obviously would not be shocked if South Carolina can do it again. You know, it's a magical ride, and if they keep going. The other side, UNC, you know, very, a team that's, you know, been, you know, Roy Williams, you know, partially probably because of the scandals that have gone on there, you know, has had to kind of go and bring in a team of lesser big star quality, let's say that. You know, not saying that Justin Jackson's not a great player, and that group is not highly talented, but you know, it's not the one and done's, which is actually kind of refreshing. None of these teams really have one and done's, so that's they're all kind of built their programs on more established players now, given having guys stick around a couple of years at least, you know, which is really cool. It's good for college basketball, I think, as well. So UNC, you know, they've been, you know, obviously a huge staple in the NCAA Final Fours, and you know, back again. But you know, this Oregon team, you know, with Dorsey and Brooks, it's gonna be a good one as well. I mean, two fun games, and you know, just going to enjoy it. Cannot wait. Yeah, you know, I kind of feel like I'm not obligated, but you know, just want to address really quick. I guess this LaVar Ball, Lonzo Ball stuff. You know, on the one hand, I really like what Lonzo Ball is, LaVar Ball, the father's doing. You know, he's, you know, giving his children support and confidence, and challenging them. I really appreciate that. I really think that's, I don't have children, but that's kind of the way I wish that I would be raising my children is to push them, obviously give them everything in my power that they can, that they need and whatnot, but also push them on the other hand and challenge them. I know, a lot of people don't like what he's saying. I do appreciate, and I approve of what he's saying. The thing about LaVar Ball that kind of pushes my buttons the wrong way is just his brashness, his presentation of it all. I like the message, but you know, seeing him strutting out in front of his kid on his First Take program on ESPN, it's just like I said, I like the message and I like the lessons that he's giving his kids and also putting out there for parents to give to their children. But I'm not a big fan of really, really confident, cocky people, overconfident, confident people. I mean, okay, you know, he's totally in line with his ideas and you have to tip your hat to that. I could do with a little less brashness, but that's the way he is, and that's his character, and I accept that. It just, you know, it's, he'd be a fun person to talk to, you know, once, and to experience once, but then I think over time it can get just the brashness of it, not necessarily the message. The message, in my eyes, is correct, and I know he's being criticized a lot for the message my issue is a little bit more the way it's being presented, the brashness of it. You know, it makes people think it is more about him, even though it might not necessarily be about him. I think to a certain degree it might be about him, but on the other hand, it's I like the message, but the way it's delivered a little bit less. So I just wanted to get that out there. I know, you know, we used to, you know, when I was on the show, we used to, you know, to debate things a little bit more. I used to offer a little more insight and stuff like that, and I do kind of miss that. This is not a call out to get necessarily someone back on the show, but I figured, there's not a lot of hot takes or, you know, opinion giving here necessarily now, just because of the single man format and whatnot. So, but I did want to offer that take on LaVar Ball. All right. So interviews, I have two of them. The first one is actually a more of a shorter interview. I went to, Bamberg, and for the Baskonia, EuroLeague game, and wanted to chat with Chase Buttinger, the former NBA guy who's with Baskonia, and wanted to address his family's background in Latvia. and whether or not he was maybe considering playing for the Latvian national team. And then there was a twist. And if you read Hind News, if you check out the website, follow me on Twitter, you saw that I wrote up a report on my encounter with Chase Buttinger. But here's the interview. If you want to, you can obviously go back and read the report. It's on HindNews.com. It was done, Monday. I think it was Monday. Go check that out. But in the meantime, here's the interview. Here's my interview with Chase Buttinger. Enjoy that, and we'll catch you on the other side. Chase, we're here EuroLeague against Bamberg. It's obviously a tough team. And they're eliminated, but obviously with these fans, you know, always want to give it a good fight. Maybe just thoughts about the team getting an important win today.
Yeah, it's a very important win. You know, we're battling for playoff spots right now. You know, we knew coming in that this is a very dangerous team. You know, any time that you play against a team who's been eliminated is more dangerous because they could play so freely. So, you know, we knew that we had to come in and play with a lot of energy, and I think we did a great job, especially in the start of the game.
It's your first season over here in Europe after playing quite a few years over in the NBA. What's it been like for you, the adaptation, and, you know, obviously a couple of rule changes, but in general, what are your thoughts about playing here?
Yeah, it's definitely you know, a great league, great competition. For me personally, it took me a while to get adjusted to it. It was definitely a learning experience and a transition period that I had to go through of learning the rules and the style of play and all that. But I think as each week goes by, I'm getting more comfortable out there and kind of knowing my role in the team.
What are some of the hardest things for you? You know, as for someone who's played, you know, college and not really seen much of the European game and NBA game, and now you come over here. What's been the hardest part?
The spacing. There's a lot less space out there. You know, each game is so important, so just the intensity of the game is a lot more. A lot of different rules, you know, swatting the ball off the rim is definitely different. But one of the biggest adjustments for me was, you know, just the traveling. You know,
they put it down.
Yeah, they look so closely at traveling calls here in Europe and NBA. There really is no traveling. So for me, early on, I was getting 1-2 travels a game. But you know, as the season goes on, I've been learning how to play this game better.
What's your favorite part about playing this different style of game?
You know, what I love is just the fans. You know, when you go on the road, it's such a great environment to play against. And also, you know, we have one of the greatest fans for home games, too. So just playing in front of great fans that are always cheering and so loud in each arena, that's what really excites me.
I've seen your mother's father's was Latvian, is that correct?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is there any consideration? Have there been any thoughts about maybe playing for Latvia since you haven't played for the States yet?
I really haven't given it too much thought. I know they reached out, you know, when I was younger in the NBA, but I don't think there's any possibility for me just to play on the Latvian team.
Why do you say there's no possibility? I mean, there is a naturalization process that the teams are allowed to have one naturalized player. So, I mean, is that, if it were to come about, is that something that you would look into?
Yeah, I could definitely look into it. You know, for me, I've got some things down the road that, you know, I'm still looking towards. You know, maybe one day, you know, when my basketball career is done, I could go play volleyball. So,
that's right, because you're
a volleyball player as well.
Yeah,
so,
and your family, there's a lot of volleyball players too.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of the main point right now of why I wouldn't do it, because if I did, then I couldn't do that.
Okay. Regarding volleyball, actually, I do have a question. You know, I see a lot of youth tournaments and stuff, and one of the things that somebody approached me with was that volleyball players could be a possibility as sort of the rim protectors. As someone who's played volleyball, you also have Kim, whose family is obviously very, very volleyball-oriented. What do you think about that? That, you know, maybe volleyball players wouldn't make actually too bad of basketball players?
Yeah, definitely not. You know, if you see guys that have done both, mostly they're probably one of the most athletic guys out there on the court. The only thing with volleyball players is that they're mostly really slim, so they'll get pushed around and knocked around and really won't be able to hold their ground, especially when they're up in the air.
Okay. I'll let you
go. Okay. Yeah, you know, I was pretty not shocked, not dumbfounded. I just was a little caught off guard on how to react to him saying, you know, talking about volleyball and I went into the interview, and this is, I guess, a classic case of, you know, you go into an interview with a certain frame of mind of how an interview is going to go, and it takes a turn. And if you're not really ready for the turn, you know, you can miss something. And then, you know, it would have been good to maybe ask a couple questions. You know, what is he going to be playing professionally? And is he thinking about playing professionally in Europe? Is he thinking about playing professionally volleyball in Europe or in the States? Goes back to California, you know, tries to play on the circuit there, you know, after the European basketball season is over. And this is then in the article I wrote up, you know, one of my colleagues in the basketball business, I gave him the quotes, and he said he's, you know, maybe he's thinking about playing the Olympics in volleyball. Also, an option, you know, to change over and play volleyball professionally and go that way. I mean, he is, hang on one second. He is, you know, he's only 28, you know, so there's no reason why, you know, in 3 years, he'll be 31. That'd be the Olympics, in Tokyo. So people who know me know that I have no problem admitting mistakes or errors, whatnot, and missed a chance to get some more information. But still, you know, fun. I got the fact that he doesn't want to play for Latvia, but exactly what he wants to do in volleyball remains to be seen. So that was my interview with Chase Buttinger. A nice guy, enjoyed it, and was was happy to get the chat. Second interview, had a chance to talk to one of England's young talents, played at the under 16s in 2015. Yes, 2015. 2015, and England went down this summer. Would be the under 18 European Championship, where he would hope to maybe try to get England back up in Division A at the under 18, to Division A at the under 18s. Cam Bett is playing for Ridley College in which is actually sort of a high school. It's actually a high school, I guess, in the academic sense of the word, in Canada. I guess sort of a college prep, I guess, if you maybe want to, or high school. South of Toronto, I guess, about actually closer to Niagara Falls, and he played at the under 16, which is, you know, kind of where people might remember him, is now in the Toronto metropolitan area playing against pretty elite talent. So here's my chat with him. I guess maybe about two-thirds of the interview, way through the interview, Cam's father, Mick Bett, who I actually know, chimes in. He used to do television commentary for EuroLeague and Euro, you know, international FIBA Europe basketball. That's who chimes in later on. So if you probably won't recognize the voice, but that's who that is, just to give you a warning ahead of time. So enjoy the interview with Cam Bett, and we'll catch you on the other side. All right. So on the show this week, Cam Bett, I guess former, future English youth basketball international, I guess.
Oh.
Cam, welcome to the show.
Nice to be on it. Thank you.
I guess kind of an update is in order for some people. Fans of British basketball, English basketball, you know, will probably maybe remember the name Cam Bett from the under-16s playing Division A and going down in the last game to Division B. That was in 2015. And then you kind of went off of the map for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Maybe just give us an update. What happened after that? I mean, I know you went to Tennessee and are now up in Canada, but just give us an update for those who might not be aware of what you've been up to.
Yeah, so after the under-16s, I went to boarding school in Chattanooga, Tennessee, the Macaulay School, for a year. It was a good year. I enjoyed it. The basketball level was pretty good. I played against some really good kids at moments, but I think the one thing that I was missing was just, the pure one-on-one development that I can get. So then after that, my parents got a job at Ridley College in St. Catharines, Ontario, and it's convenient enough that Ridley's now in one of the best leagues in Canada, the OSBA. So I'm getting to play again. So my dad pretty much told me, you can come up here, you can get good one-to-one training, and now you're playing against kids that might go to the NBA. So, it's kind of one of those things you can't, not take up on. So I kind of reviewed what I wanted to do. And then after a year at Tennessee, I kind of decided that, I needed a change. The good thing is I'm up here. In Tennessee, you can get good basketball. You play against a few Division I players now and then, but you're kind of stuck with this thing where you're getting distracted all the time. And coming up to, making the move up to Ridley, I feel like I'm, focusing more on my grades. I'm getting better basketball exposure. I'm training twice a day, getting into the weight room after that. And, it's just easier for me to feel that, I'm trying to get to my goal to play Division I basketball and keep going further on with that, especially at Ridley too.
If I'm not mistaken, you're probably about halfway between Toronto and Niagara Falls. Is that right?
Just about. It's like an hour outside Toronto and then, 15 minutes just to Niagara Falls.
Oh, is that all this? 15 minutes to Niagara
Falls?
Yeah,
so it's not too bad.
So any people that come to visit you guys, you always go, yeah, let's go take them to the falls.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. It's easier than getting in Toronto.
Yeah. You mentioned it, the OSBA, the Ontario Scholastic Basketball Association. It's a newly formed organization, but it's been able to put together a pretty good product. It's got games being shown live on YouTube. Like you said, there's really some high level guys in it. Maybe just talk a little bit about that. You look at some of the guys, in the class of 17, you have two guys that they're going to be going to Syracuse in Brissett and Washington up at Athletes Institute. Stephen Smith, was a pretty high level guy at the under 17 World Championship. You have Brett Zekas at Orangeville, all the other guys at Orangeville, with junior Farquhar and, just keep going names. Saunders was at the Jordan Brand Classic, and I mean just maybe it's what it's like for you. This youngster from England and now you're able to play against like you said a lot of guys who NBA teams are already looking at them. Obviously they still have to go to college for at least a year, but what's it like for you really day in, day out, or game in, game out to be able to play against these guys because they're dispersed throughout the greater Ontario area?
Well, like at first it definitely was a little bit intimidating, especially being an English kid, you don't really see many kids that are, have the prospect to maybe go to the NBA. So but after time I kind of got used to it, realized that they're the same human beings I am. And, as long as I'm playing hard every single day, just keep going at it. Maybe one day I can, get to the level they're at and maybe just keep playing. It's good because, they're better players than I am. So I get to play at the level they are and they teach me things every day. So
you've been successful though. You know,
I've had a few good games.
Yeah. So I think there was a 40 point in there, right? Wasn't there?
I think it was a 38 or 36.
38. You had a buzzer beater in a game. You know, tell us roughly, you know, maybe what you've been able to do. Stats are sometimes a little bit tough to get with that OSBA.
Yeah, so I think I had 38 against Orangeville Prep, a few like 20 point games, and then obviously, you know, the buzzer beater at the beginning of the year was for me. It's difficult because, you know, I'm the shooter on the team, so it just depends on how my shooting like stroke's going. If I come in the game, hit a few threes, everything's going well, but it's kind of hard when I'm missing my first one. I have to try and get into a rhythm after that. So that's when it kind of gets a little bit harder for me to do something and, you know, put up some stats. Usually I like to pass the ball a little bit more than I like to shoot sometimes, though, especially if I'm playing the point guard, though. So
are you playing more two than one?
It switches. I think I start off as the two a little bit, and then as soon as Noah goes off, I play the one for a bit. You know, I like the combo guard role. Kind of gives me, you know, power to shoot and, you know, power to control the game at moments.
Noah being Noah Wharton. You also have Jaden Badiaku, who's, you know, had some exposure already at the national team level. You know, it's a guy who, you know, you can see a lot of talent in there. Maybe, you know, for someone who kind of sees him all the time, you know, where do you think he's at?
Oh, I think he's one of the best bigs I've ever played with. He's actually, you know, he's the real deal when he gets down to his game. He's getting to that point where he's training a lot and he's building his confidence up with us. And that's the good thing is, you know, our team's getting chemistry. Yeah. And my dad works with him every day too. So
it's definitely
helping out that, you know, he's getting on a good level. He just needs to build the confidence up and, you know, start, you know, getting some good games a lot more. And, you know, next thing you know, he can be a real big name in Canada basketball. So.
Yeah, I kept on saying that that they should be putting him in on some of these games where there were blowouts in the World Championship and under 18s, but he really never got any time.
Yeah, I remember watching him in the summer. It was a little bit hard for him to get in those moments.
Yeah. Maybe top guys that you played against. Who are some of the guys, you know, looking back, you're like, you know, man, that was a great matchup, you know, or you know, this guy is really going to do something. Who are some of the guys that really impressed you?
I think probably Keyshawn Sanders and Junior Farquhar from Orangeville Prep. Those guys, you know, they're the real deal when I was playing against them. You know, like the athletic ability they have, you know, especially at my size too, you know, and they can shoot the ball. They can do about everything. You know, those guys kind of seem like the perfect point guard to play against.
Henderson loads of talent and isn't amazing.
Oh yeah, I know, and you know, it's kind of hard to pick from. You know, there's like at least four or five Division I players from each team in our league, so you kind of have to, you know, pick the best one.
It might be a little bit difficult because you're only there for the first time this year now. But you know, everybody says that the push is there, and you know they're producing all this talent. You know, the greater Ontario area. What do you think they're doing? What can you see that you've seen in this 1 year? I mean, you're seeing even like, you know, freshmen, you look at Patterson, at Athletes Institute and Cassius McNeely, you know, these guys are super high level freshmen. What do you sense that they're doing, or, you know, with talks with your dad or whatever? Do you think that Canada, or maybe, you know, in specific the Ontario Toronto area, is doing that is making this huge push in talent?
It's getting really good. You know, the talent, I think, is some ways better than a lot of Americans. You know, the only thing is Canada doesn't have a huge pool of places to get kids besides probably Toronto and Montreal and a few other places outside. But I think, you know, the good thing is with this league we're having, it gets a lot of kids just to stay home and, you know, play basketball at a high level compared to them going to a prep school in the States. Kind of like what I did, you know, I'm kind of as soon as they're there, it's kind of hard for them, because if they're not getting time, it's kind of hard for them to motivate each other to go work on their game by themselves instead of coming back home, you know, getting the one-to-one training they need and, you know, feeling, you know, at least at rest with, like, having their family with them and everything.
If you compare it to what's going on in England, what do you think that England? I mean, it's kind of hard just because it's also, you know, it's even less of a pool of players to athletes, whatever, to pull from. But what do you think they can do? What do you think that, you know, GB, England, whatever, can do to kind of give basketball in the country a push, other than, you know, saying that football's banned and nobody is allowed to play it in the country?
Well, obviously,
although I guess they go play cricket and rugby, but
I think, you know, England basketball's on its way. It's going to take a little bit of time. You know, I think the talent level in England is as high as it's ever been, really. You know, a lot of kids and I'm friends with back home, you know, some really good players. So I think the only thing that's kind of stopping kids is development training. And I think the one thing that's helping them out too is the league they have over there, which is the EABL. You know, it's getting kids to at least a secondary school for their last 2 years of high school, you know, and they get good one-to-one training, you know, especially if one of the places I was considering going to was Barking Abbey in London, you know, with a few of the coaches there were good friends with my dad, and they definitely seem like the type of people that can help me improve as a player too. So I definitely think that England basketball is definitely on the right track for developing players. It just needs the results now, which I think will probably come, just depending on, you know, the past 3 years of players that are coming up.
It would help that the guys that do go abroad, you know, are able to take the next step. I mean, you know, you and you know, you look at Kareem Quealy down in at Real Madrid. You know, he seems to be doing a pretty good job there at the 2001 level. I mean, I'm sure that would, you know, be a benefit and as well.
Oh yeah, obviously, you know, Kareem is definitely a good case. You know, him leaving England was probably a good decision for him. You know, Real Madrid is one of the best European clubs in Europe. But for me, leaving was like also something to do to kind of grow up. You know, I kind of get a year away from my family, see what it's like. It prepared me for college a lot better than, you know, anything else. But then again, you kind of realize, you know, what are your goals? And, you know, how badly do you really want it? And, you know, when I kind of finished that year in Tennessee, I kind of realized that, you know, I need to be more grounded, you know, with my studies especially and my basketball. I need to think, you know, like, what are my goals? And, you know, how badly do I really want this? And coming to Canada, you know, ever since I got, you know, into St. Catharines, I've been in the gym almost every day, you know, just working on my game. And I think I think leaving England is a good thing, but then again, I can't really say that, you know, it can help many kids out. It just depends on, you know, how they're getting trained out there. But I think, you know, with Kareem, you know, he's with great staff especially. So he's kind of blessed in that way. So just depends on the situation each kid's in.
You mentioned goals. Maybe talk about how what kind of goal this is for you this summer. The under-18s Division B. You know, we were talking before, and you said that there's tryouts coming up in a couple weeks. Division B. You know, you guys went down at 16s. And I guess in 2014, the England went down at the 18 level, finished 7th and 9th in the past 2 years. Maybe talk about Team England then this summer. What kind of goal you guys have?
Well, if I make the team, I definitely think it'd be a huge goal to get promoted. You know, I think that'd be a really big thing for me and England especially. That's if I do make the team, and I don't want to, you know, come to conclusions real quick. But obviously, that'd be a really big thing to try and get promoted again. You know, I think it's something that would be really good for England, especially to boost their confidence into the future. You know, I don't think staying in the B division is helping us really too much, but, you know, definitely getting promoted would be a big thing.
And it seems like one of the guys who might be there with you would be Nelson Bochy.
Yeah, Nelson.
Maybe, you know, thoughts about maybe being able to play with him?
Oh, yeah, playing with Nelson's always a good thing. He's a very versatile, you know, I don't even know what position he is. He can play almost every position in some ways. He's one of the, you know, I'd say one of the best 99 players in England by far, you know, just from his pure size and athletic ability. And, you know, he's just a good player all around. And, you know, it's fun to play with him because, you know, when the game gets clutch, especially, you know, when we were playing Greece, you know, when I had that good game against Greece, people didn't really realize, you know, that he's the one getting all the blocks and the rebounds. And it's just the small things that you kind of don't notice from him that, you know, can change a game real quick.
In that group, you guys have Czech Republic, Sweden, Albania, Netherlands, and Luxembourg. Only two, only the top two advance to the next round. So you'd have to finish in the top two in that group in order to be alive to get the promotion. So you figure Czech, Sweden, and Netherlands probably be the toughest of the competition in that group. What do you think about that that grouping?
It's definitely a good group. I think, you know, any team in Europe is going to be hard at every time. It just depends on how you play in the night. You know, we kind of saw that in the under 16 level. You know, especially during our first game against Germany. We that's a game we could have won, but we came out very, you know, scared and timid and ended up losing by three. So I think, you know, looking at, you know, definitely checking Sweden. We played Sweden 2 years ago, and they're a tough team, very tough team. But, you know, again, every team is going to be tough when you beat them. It just depends on how you play during the time and how much composure you have. So that's the one thing that if, you know, I do make the team, it'd be a really good thing to see how I've developed compared to a lot of the kids I played against 2 years ago.
Yeah, Sweden came down and from they were in Division A and actually had a couple of the 99s playing on that team last year in Division A. What's that?
Hey, how you doing?
Very good, man. Yourself?
Yeah. I'll check you when Kimmy Fish and Cameron, I'll chat with you about stuff.
Are you missing? Are you missing calling games in EuroLeague and European basketball?
I can't do it. So I'm missing it too much.
It's fun though, huh? Was fun though, huh?
See what?
I said it's fun time, huh? Calling those games.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the worst thing about coming to Canada is I miss that so much.
Yeah.
But that's life.
Yeah.
I'm in a better place here. That's for sure.
Better basketball too, huh?
Yeah, that's true.
So coming back to UCAM to kind of finish off, you have a couple more weeks. You guys are 9-9. I've been playing better. You had a 1-6 start to the season. Maybe just the goal for you and the rest of the team for the rest of the season.
Just, you know, game by game, you know, one at a time, make sure we're winning everything, playing the best we can do. We've got Crothers back-to-back, so, you know, those would be two big games. But we're just focusing on the first one, seeing how we can do. Hopefully we can finish 11-9 and see how far we can get in the playoffs. You know, I think we have a good team, you know. We have good heart, especially, as you said, we were 1-6. And now, you know, to be, I think it's fifth or sixth. You know, coming from almost last, it just shows, you know, we have a lot of grit in us. You know, especially being one of the youngest teams in the league, we're just showing that we're not giving up yet. And, you know, we're not done and we're ready to prove people wrong.
Yeah, you got to go two games back and back against Stephen Smith, though, man.
I know. Yeah. He's a good point guard. And I think, you know, again, it's one of those things you just got to look forward to it because, you know, it's only benefiting me too. So I'm happy about it.
Last thing, you know, you talked about goals. We talked about the under-18s. Goal for you then. So let's see. You have, what, two more years left?
Yeah. I'm a junior right now, class 2018.
So one more year left after this one.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. You know, are you getting offers already? And, what are you looking for then for the 18-19 for basically the fall of 2018?
I haven't really got any offers yet. I've talked to a few coaches along different levels. So the best thing to do is come in here. It's kind of opened my eyes to recruiting. You know, we've had college coaches come in the gym. Mm-hmm. We've had Oregon come in the gym, the head coach from Oregon. We've had Vanderbilt, a few other coaches. And it's good, you know, because you get to talk to them, you know, face to face and see what it's like. My biggest goal, I would say, is, you know, obviously to play Division I basketball. You know, I always think playing at the highest level is the best thing for me. But, you know, things can always change. But definitely that's my biggest goal coming into, you know, my last year of Ridley is, you know, to get myself a scholarship, you know, to get a better education and especially play on the highest level of basketball in college.
And are you going to be playing AAU ball then this year?
Yeah.
This summer or whatever, this spring, whatever you want to call it?
I'm playing with a Southern Ontario Select, you know, and we'll be traveling to a few American tournaments. So we go to Pittsburgh, I think, in late April. So that'd be a good thing.
And will this be your first time on that circuit then?
Yeah. Like, I didn't really, the first time I've ever done AAU, you know, coming from England, you don't really get time. Like many, last year I kind of missed out on it. I played a lot of different sports last year, so I didn't really have much time to do AAU because I had to come back home to England for the England team. But I think, you know, this will be a good year for me. I want to see what it's like, see how, you know, kids compare to me. Especially being from England, you don't really get to see many the different type of talent pool that you would from America.
Get plenty of cold weather, though. How are you dealing with that?
It's not too bad. It's getting there. You know, we still got a little bit of snow outside, so that's just melting off right now. And yeah, I think hopefully in the next month it might be a little bit warmer than it is, but you know, it's still chilly. Still chilly outside.
I'm going to be there in about 2 weeks, so better be all gone by then.
Oh, but I think so. It should be all right.
I mean, come on. It's Canada. It's Toronto. So, I mean,
You never know, man. You never know.
Exactly. Favorite thing about being in Toronto, being in Canada, you know, whatever. We'll call it greater Toronto area, being in Canada. Favorite thing?
The girls.
Well, I'm not going to say. I think, you know, obviously the level of basketball is a big thing, but I think, you know, just being with my family too. You know, that's a big one. You know, you kind of neglect not being with your family when you're in boarding school for a year, and then you realize how badly you need them at moments. And I think that's the one thing that I'm most grateful for right now.
It's a good answer with your dad right there.
Yeah, I know. Right. He's talking down right now.
All right, Cam. Congratulations on a pretty strong first year at a pretty high level, and wish you luck the rest of the year, and good luck in the tryouts. Hopefully we see you over here in Europe at under 18s. I am actually drawing a blank where that is. Is that in, I want to say it's Tallinn. In Macedonia.
Tallinn.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Estonia. Yeah.
Okay. Estonia. Yeah. That's going to be a tough tournament anyhow, because there's so many teams that want to go back up even just getting out of that group.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it goes, but you know, it'd be a big tournament, I think.
One step at a time, right?
Definitely, of course.
All right, Cam. Congratulations. Good luck, and we'll see you down the road. All right. Ridley College. Interesting. You know, this Barriaco guy, Jalen Barriaco, is a guy who, you know, I was really hoping last year would play more. In both competitions, U18 FIBA Americas and the Under 17 World Championship, World Cup Basketball World Cup. You know, could have gotten. You know, could have used that experience to build up a little bit of confidence and whatnot, but. You know, all reports have him, you know, being a pretty talented young man, and you know, now it's just a matter of getting it out of him and installing the confidence in him and getting him there. So, this is an interesting program, and I think, you know, it's just another of the interesting programs in the Toronto and the Toronto area. In the Canadian basketball scene, I have a feeling we should watch out for Ridley for maybe some interesting stuff in the future. You know, something else is going to be happening maybe there, so should be cool. But you know, hey, I mean, for Bet, you know, great chance to play against some absolutely fantastic competition. Better than anything you can get in back home, and clearly, clearly anything better to get back home, and you know, maybe even better than some of the areas in the States, for many of the areas in the States, you know, that highly competitive Toronto basketball scene, even with the guys who have left and gone to the States for, you know, for college prep, you know, schools, high schools in the States, you know, still a lot of talent up there. You know, he's going against it, and he's getting better because of it. So congrats to Cam Bett for being able to play pretty well in his first season up there. Good luck in the playoffs, and good luck this summer in getting a tryout for the under-18s and making the team. So with that, I'm going to call it a podcast and let you move on with the rest of your day, just to let you know what you're going to be listening to. The song is called Mega Gem, the song is called Reckless Ambivalence, and this band is Mega Gem, and it's available on freemusicarchive.org. Enjoy it. Enjoy the NCAA Final Four. NBA is starting to heat up a little bit. Really only a few weeks. EuroLeague is coming down to his last couple of weeks. Also, check out the Adidas Next Generation, AdidasNGT.com. We're doing weekly features on players to watch in the build-up to the finals in Istanbul. This week we did Nikola Cicic, the young Montenegrin who plays for Barcelona. And the next one will be up on Monday or Tuesday. So keep checking out that site. Obviously, keep reading High News. And we will talk to you next week. Next week it will be from California. So enjoy that. Enjoy the week of hoops. And we'll catch you next week from sunny Southern California.
Sun rises, I
voices all sound the same. Here in the desert, on the ride home, the world looks so small. I wanted to reach out, I wanted to touch it all as the sun rises and I, the sun.
My name is John Musa and you listen to Taking Charge.